My name is Tom. I grew up, born and bred in Kent, and I live in this area. Been coming to this church since I was very little, probably about 5 or 6. I have one wife and one child, the beautiful Kayser that you saw here, and the beautiful wife, Rita. But nowadays I live and I work in Rwanda. We work with rural communities in Rwanda, helping them spiritually, economically, and kind of socially. We do development work, and it's something I really love. I've been there since 2007. Something else you should know about me is that normally when I talk in public, and particularly when I talk here, I cry. So just be prepared for a few snot bubbles. I've talked to God about it, and he said, well, I felt it was just like, it's just going to be as it's going to be. So, oh, no, not yet. So first of all, I'd like to thank everyone for letting me to come and talk. I love coming back here. I love being able to speak. The subject is an awesome subject. It's a series that this church, if it's the first time you've been here, the church is going through a series on the Holy Spirit. I'd encourage you to go online and listen back to some of the previous talks, because I can't go over everything that's been covered over all the weeks. For my talk, I'm talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. I suppose all you need to really know about that, if this is the first time you've been at the church, is that we have a good God, a loving God that wants to communicate with us. And he does that through his Holy Spirit. And that is pretty much the starting point of my talk. So to start with, I'm going to do three main points with lots of little points, or it might be four main points and little points in between. Just taking you through, as I see the stages, kind of like Holy Spirit is, but kind of like, how does the Holy Spirit, you know, what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit, about, you know, guiding us, teaching us? And then how we prepare ourselves to be led by the Spirit. I'll briefly touch on a few different ways that the Holy Spirit communicates with us. And then finish off with the results of being led and some personal experiences. So let's start with the Bible. Let's read this first verse. Grab your Bibles if you got them. If not, it's on the screen, and it's relatively large, so you should be able to read it. So I'm just going to crack on and hopefully get everything done in time. So 1 Corinthians 2:11 to 12. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand that God has freely given us. So we may understand what God has freely given us. Basically, the Spirit of God understands the heart of God. He knows God better than we could ever know God. And he is therefore much more understanding of the direction, the plan that God has for us. So that's about knowing. He knows the heart of God, and he's willing to share that with us, as we're going to see. John 14:25-26. All this I have spoken while still with you. This is Jesus speaking while he was on the earth. He was talking with the people following him, his disciples. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. So Jesus was telling us that when he died on the cross, he rose again, and he was going back into heaven, that he would be leaving us. He couldn't stay on earth indefinitely. His place was next to God by his right hand. And so he was going to be sending us the Holy Spirit to be with us, and specifically to teach us, to help us to learn something of who God is. And that was the teaching and the guiding. I have much more to... Oh, again, this is Jesus speaking. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So he will guide us, and he will guide us into the truth. He knows the direction we're supposed to be going in. He knows the plans of God, and Jesus communicates with him, and then he communicates with us. And so there's many more verses in the Bible, but I thought those three would be a good starting point. And kind of the assumptions I am is that the Holy Spirit is real. He talks to us, he knows God, he teaches us, and he guides us. So from a personal point of view, we need to think for ourselves, why does God bother to lead us? What is the point of that? And I believe that we are led for a purpose and not for comfort. There is a plan. God has a plan. It started many years ago. He wanted a relationship with us. Believe it or not, looking around at you, you may not feel worthy of it, but for some reason God wants to love us, and he wants us to love him. He wants to be in relationship with us. And he desires that relationship so much that he created us, and he knew the outcome of what that creation would be. He knew the mess that the world would get in. He knew that he'd have to die on the cross. And yet he still chose to do it. And that really does baffle me, because if I knew the outcome of the last few thousand years and I was God, I'm not sure I'd bothered. But thankfully, God is not me. It came at a high price. You can actually just read that last line. But it was worth it to him. And so that is his purpose. The plan that we are a part of, we're part of it. Whether we like it or not, as Christians, we are part of this plan of seeing God's kingdom come on earth, and as many people as possible to be in relationship with him. Whew, done. Thank you. So for us personally, so that's it. So we're part of this plan. We're part of this direction. There is a goal for it. There is a purpose. It's not just for sitting around. That foundation is laid. And from our part, I think a big part of being led is being willing to let go of control. Something that is actually very difficult to do, to say to God, okay, everything I have, I mean, we read it in the Bible. In fact, let's read it in the Bible. Let's go to Luke 9, 23 to 25. It's not on the screen because I was going to say something else. But I don't actually think I'll be able to get through the something else, so I'm going to stick with words that were written a few thousand years ago to help me out. So Luke 9, 23 to 25. Then he said to them, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, if anyone wants to be part of this plan, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? It is one of those crazy God things where to actually be part of something, to actually have life forever, you have to actually kind of give up your life. But it's not like you're giving it up and you're just going to die on the spot. It's about trusting everything into God's hand. The way I like to think about it, and I think I touched on it last time I was here, is that I imagine a big throne room, like if anyone's seen Lord of the Rings, a good film. There's a number of throne rooms in Lord of the Rings. There's the big one in the White Castle-y thing. As you can see, I know all the technical words for Lord of the Rings. It's got a really long kind of hallway, and at the far end there's a big throne. And I kind of imagine God on the throne, and in front of God is this table. And I picture myself walking down this, want to say runway, but that can't be the right word, down the aisle, towards the table on the throne, and I start putting things on it, things that I want to keep hold of. So I normally start with things like I put my money on there, I put, you know, in my mind's eye, I put my wallet on there, I put... I put my security on there, pensions, my future on there. I put on there my reputation at work, what people think of me. This is a tough one. Family, yeah. I put my family on there, I put my health on there, I put my life on there, everything I can think of to do with my life. And I put it before him, and it's up to him to give it back to me, to look after, and to take care of. And as you can see, I find that tricky. But I think it's an important thing to do. Thank you. Pure vodka. Actually, that would help if anyone's carrying. So you put it all on there, but it's so God can give it back to you. You're kind of letting go of it, and you should come out of that process feeling light and unburdened, because we trust in God. We trust that He will take care of everything, and He's a much better Father than I can be. Moving on. This is a good point. Does anyone... So when I started praying and talking about this and about letting go and kind of the other part of that, kind of submitting, I'm coming to my head. Actually, even before I got given the subject, there's a bit in the Bible... Have I been changing screens? So there's a bit in the Bible with Moses. And he's the man that led the Israelites... out of bondage, out of slavery, towards the promised land. Never made it himself, but he got well on the way. And his first kind of meeting with God is in this burning bush, and God's speaking to him. And the first thing that God says to him is, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for this place you're standing is on holy ground." I was thinking about that. So is there any theologian congregation that could in one sentence or two sentences sum up why he took the sandals off? Anyone want to give it a crack? Seriously, it's better than me doing it. No one? No one. Unbelievable. Okay. I was hoping to have a break there. For me, in my reading, and I'm no theologian, I am, very basic level Bible reading kind of guy. I read the Bible, and if I'm not sure about something, I just think, you just got to love God, love everyone else, and the rest will fall into place. So that's like my default mode. Love God, love everyone, done, forgive, that's no problem. But when I was reading around it, I saw it was about submission and humility. So I figured I'd give it a crack while I'm up here. A bit of submission and humility. And I think this is a big part of letting go of control. It's to understand that you don't have, or you can't do everything. Oh, that's weird. I hate my feet. So I wondered what it would feel like standing up here. I thought I'd feel embarrassed and things, but a little bit embarrassed, but I was embarrassed anyway. But it's actually quite freeing. But you do feel a little bit humbled. But anyway, so I've taken off my shoes. I really do hate my feet. They're very white. And if you look at them, they're veiny. They're hammer toes. For my entire life, I've told people I hate sandals. It disgusts me. But the truth of it is, sandals are fine. I actually don't like my feet. I really don't. Yes. Thank you, Wendy. Yes, and I've been going through that. You see, I've been going, I hate my feet, and as I've been praying and thinking through what I was going to talk about, it's like, well, they're kind of important. If I didn't have my feet right now, I would flop down on the floor on my face. But yes. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. So a big part of it is to learning to let go. To in following him, if you want to follow him, you need to not try and keep control. You need to understand that God knows best. You need to trust in him. And that is tough. The other thing you need to do, or is important, or being prepared to learn, is to learn to hear his voice. And learning to hear his voice is not something that I have found easy. I have a quite a vivid imagination. I'm not that creative, kind of drawing and stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on in my head. Some of it is not able to be said. Because, you know, it might be, you know, inappropriate or rude. I think of things that I think everyone's the same. I'm sure I'm not the only one that has lots of things going on in their head. So it's actually quite difficult to discern kind of what is from God and what's just from me, what's from the television, what's from general life. So some of the things that I think that we need to do, if you are serious about following what the Holy Spirit is going to say, before you could, you know, you can't just say, you know, I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit and does what he tells me, is to learn how he speaks and to listen to his voice. And you do that with time. It takes you time. There's no quick fix. There's no pill you can take. You can read the Bible. You need to pray. You need to worship. And you need to get into those regularly. And as you do them, you will learn to discern more and more what is of you and what is from the Spirit. Other things that you can also do, as well as those top three things, is to spend time with godly people. They are a wealth of just conversations that you have with them are good. They can point you in the right direction. If you're not being discipled and you're a Christian, look for a godly person to disciple you. It made a massive difference to my life. And the other thing I'd say is learn to sit still, learn to be still and to be quiet. That's something I have real difficulty with. I think Tim Bloomfield touched on it a few weeks ago, but he has a spot he goes to. And that's good if you can find that spot where you can unclutter. I find it very helpful if you have a lot going on in your mind to just kind of shout that out there, get that all out, get it, you know, dealt with, and then you will have some time to be quiet and sit still. But each person is different, and so find out what works for you. But if you can practice the art of being still and listening, that would be very helpful for learning to hear the Spirit's voice and his guidance. And learning to discern what is the Spirit and what isn't the Spirit, what is from you and what isn't. That takes time. As you hear something and then you ask somebody who's, you know, like James Coombs or Vincent or anyone who's a more mature Christian, you can talk to them about it, and then you begin to regularly you start to see, okay, that was good. That was something that came from God. So there's a Bible verse there, Proverbs 11 to 14, about kind of getting advice and learning to discern, learning from others. Take all the opportunities you have. If you want, and that's of course, so I'm saying all this on the understanding that you want to be led, that you want to move forward in that. And if you do, remember there is a cost, but these are some things to help you. Okay. God is a creative God. He created us. He created the world. He created everything you can think of, everything that's good around you. So I don't think I can list all the ways that he could lead you. I think as many as people are different, he could lead us all in different ways. And these are just some of the ways that I could think of when I was looking at the subject. But I think the Holy Spirit will lead you in the way you need to be led. That just comes, as I say, it comes from spending time with him and, you know, reading and praying and being in worship. But some of the ones that I thought of, the top two there, dreams and visions. So you may have a dream about something that's really vivid. You remember it in the morning. It could be something that's going on in your life right now. It could be something in the future. It's a dream that kind of sticks in your mind. That may be something from the Holy Spirit, so that's something that you could go to your discipler or go to somebody in the church and to talk to them about it and just see if that's some way that God is leading you. So in your dream life while you're asleep, it's a very common way, and it's in the Bible. God has led people with dreams, and also today it still happens. Visions is something that's similar to dreams, but it kind of happens during the day. And it's as if stuff opens up in front of you. And it's miraculous. Dreams and visions is not something that I've ever experienced, so I can't really talk on those. In fact, the ones I want to focus on are actually on the bottom of the list, but they do happen. I know somebody recently had a vision, and so they do happen today. And it's just a way of God talking to you and showing you something in the moment. And I think I'm going to leave that there. Miraculous signs. In the Bible, there's kind of writing on the wall. There is a donkey that talks and leads somebody in the right direction. And that can still happen today. Those are the kind of the amazing things that the Holy Spirit still does, comes down and interacts with us in a very real way, with something very obvious. I haven't actually been led through a miraculous sign myself, and there's part of me that thinks that God doesn't use those things with me because he knows that I would doubt them. So if I saw a sign writing on the wall, I'd think somebody else had left it, or I wouldn't miss the signs. So the way God talks to me is very relevant to me. But I'm sure that there's people here that have seen something that's either just in day-to-day life, and it's really spoken to them. It's something that has kind of jumped out and touched their heart and their spirit. Their mind has quickened, and they've been like, wow, and that has meant something to them. Again, if you've been a Christian for a long time, I'd encourage you to keep praying for those things and looking for those things. And if you're a new Christian, to talk when you see these things, and you think, oh, it might be something there, to talk with Christians, get good Christian counsel, and those are I kind of put those three up in the miraculous. And they're pretty amazing. But God is still miraculous today, I believe. Prophecies and word of knowledge is normally when somebody else comes and talks to you. So they've been praying, and they feel that God has put something on their heart. And then they'll come and say to you, that, I feel, I got this. Like it happened this morning, that message from Phil when he was talking with Olivia and Paul. He felt that God had told him something for them. If somebody comes up to you that, I'd encourage you to embrace it. I'd also encourage you to go and talk to people, other Christians, and kind of weigh up the truth of it. So prophecies is where somebody may be seeing something for your future, and a word of knowledge would be where then somebody who doesn't know you, doesn't know what you're going through, but will come and speak directly into your life. They've heard something from the Holy Spirit that's happening to you right now, and they'll speak into your life. I'm sure all the things I've covered so far are much more in depth than that, but that's how I understand them, and I guess in my simple way. And so the last three, the Bible, inner witness, and circumstances, is often how the Holy Spirit leads me, and I really need to rush on. I've been really dawdling. So the Bible, in the front of my Bible back in Rwanda, I've got a little post-it note that says, if this is true, then, is this really your... if this is true, is this really your reaction? So every time I open my Bible, it reminds me, if I really believe what is written in this Bible, is my life actually representing it? Am I living out love my neighbour? Am I living out forgiveness? Am I living out by the way I give and those kind of things? And so there's a lot in the Bible that's written by God. The Holy Spirit can use that to kind of quicken it to your mind and to your heart, and can guide you, and just in general life, just do what it says. You don't need a sign from God to say, love your enemy. It's written down in the Bible. You don't need a sign from God to say, to help the poor. It's very clear in black and white. And so just do what it says. Well, one caveat I would add to that is that in the Bible it does say about giving. And if you can give from your abundance, and I think that's great, and you, you know, If you have plenty of cash available, you can give. But there was one story that I'm going to quickly tell you about a pastor who didn't have any money from the town in Rwanda where I'm from. He only had a little bit of money to buy food for that evening. And he went out on his way to buy the food for that night. There was nothing left in the house. He came across somebody in need, and he really felt God was telling him to give this money to that person. And so he did. He was obedient, and he was used to listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he followed him. He gave that money to the person, went back home with nothing, and his wife was like, you know, what are we going to do? We're poor. We don't have any food. We're going to starve. And he said, no, don't worry. We'll pray. What we'll do is we'll get all the pots. So in Rwanda, you cook on a stove, and then the food, because your pans get all kind of dirty, there's kind of on-the-table pots. So you cook your food on the stove, and then they get transferred onto kind of on-the-table pots with lids on. So they had all their on-the-table pots. They set up the table, got the family sitting down, put all the food out. Not the food out, didn't have any food, put all the pots out. And they said grace, and they thanked God for what was before them. And then there was a knock on the door just as he was finishing his prayer. And it was a lady from the church who had said, look, I was cooking dinner and, I had too many potatoes. And so I felt God was telling me to bring you potatoes. I know it sounds a bit ridiculous, but here I am with potatoes. He said, that's wonderful, thank, praise God. And he took the potatoes from her and put them in one of the pots. And then, they sat down again and there was another knock on the door. And again, it was somebody from the church who said, I heard cooking my meal tonight. We made the stew. We finished eating and there was loads left over. And I just felt in my spirit that I should just come and give the stew to you. And so he, praise God, thank God. And then he put it in. And that went on, knock after knock, knock after knock, until all the pots were filled on the table. And that was amazing. I bet he was a bit gutted. He hadn't actually put more pots out. Could have sorted himself for the week. Didn't think that through. So it's like that action that he did by giving away everything. Not only did he hear from God, but people from his church heard from God, and it's a real testimony. And now I've used it here, and so that's a really inspiring story. And it's giving more than you can afford. So I jumped onto that story because in the Bible it says to give. I think if you're going to give more than you can afford, you need to really be hearing from God carefully, because I also believe in good stewardship and making sure you don't get in financial worries. For me, my personal story is that how God led me was, very quickly now, is that I was in a position. I came back from university, I was being discipled by Vincent, I was doing it in the church, and I felt that God was telling me to do what was in front of me. And I did that for a number of years. I got very involved in the church and different activities. But then I got to a point where I just didn't feel fulfilled, and it was as if there was something more that I needed to do. So I started praying about it. I spoke with Vincent about it. I spoke to many people in the church. And I remembered things from the past came to my mind about going to Africa, and I knew I loved Africa, and I knew I wanted to be helping people, and so it was like, it was actually a process, and I still believe that I was led by the Spirit, but it wasn't just like one big sign and then I go to Africa. It was really thinking, praying, mulling over it, and then things just started falling into place. I have to raise my own financial support to be able to work in Africa. And God just got the money in, no problem at all. It was a lot of money that I needed to cover living expenses. And he's been covering that for 9 years. Actually, on a little bit of a side note, I am actually also raising funds for the future. And so if anyone does want to contribute and to be part of our work in Africa, then there are some direct debit forms out there. So straight back in. But God has been faithful year after year after year, providing what I needed. And that's been great. And then I would get words from people. I got given prophecies. People would come with Bible verses, and when I read the work description of what I'd be doing in Africa, it just kind of sprung off the page. And so all of these things, I really believe, were being led by the Holy Spirit. And that was a big reason of why and that's why I ended up in Rwanda. And I can assure you, it's really something I feel I should be doing. And I have no doubt it's what God left me, designed me to do. And in the work that we have in Rwanda, when everything seems like it's not going in the right direction, God will give us a divine connection. Somebody will just come across our path, and it's as if they were just the perfect person for what we need, a customer or somebody to help us with the logistics, or an artisan that can make a particular product. Or it's just time and time again, over 9 years, if I had longer and I hadn't gone so slowly at the beginning, I could have filled it in more. But it's just time and time again, God gives us those divine connections. And I think that is also being led by the Spirit. So it's not just about big words or big signs or miraculous things. It's kind of your day-to-day interactions, and it's just spotting where God has been involved, bash, bish, bash, bosh. And if you do it, and if you start seeing it more and more, you'll realize how much God is involved in your lives already, and that's wonderful. The results of being led is, we can read that in your leisure, James 3:17. And then Galatians 5:22 and 26 about the fruit. So I'll let you to read those in your leisure because I'm aware that I've run out of time. But basically, if you are being led by the Spirit, you will see something come out of it. What you see come out of it will be good. If you're being led by the Spirit and something is coming out of it that is not good, not the fruits of the Spirit, not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, then it might be questionable whether it's from the Spirit. I won't say it's totally not from the Spirit, because sometimes you don't see the fruit for many, many years, but if you can't see good fruit coming from it, then maybe you need to think again. And just, you know, go back to spending time and asking God for some clarity. And so that's it. You're being led by the Spirit. There's a purpose to it. You're going to see results. That's just how it works. My personal experience over the last, more than 9 years. I've been in Rwanda almost 9 years. And that's obviously the thing that springs to mind, because I gave up my life and my family here. And I got some additions to the family with a wife and a child, and a job I love, and I just feel like I really fit in. But it's been a wild ride. It's been a really wild ride. Sometimes I liken it to being on a horse that without any reins or anything, and you're just kind of gripping onto it as you go forward. God has taken us much bigger and much further than I ever thought he would have. And I'm happy to talk with that in more detail if anyone's interested about our work in Rwanda and my life in general. I, as you can tell, I like chatting. So I'm happy to see you afterwards. There's a feeling of being designed for doing what you were designed for. That's my personal experience. When I started doing what God was guiding me to do, it felt right. It felt like this was what I was made for. Now, some people say that when you hear from God, there's a sense of peace. And that may be true for some people. It isn't for me. I'm a natural worrier. I have big trouble in letting go of control. It's something that I am working on. It is a weakness of mine. And I'm sure if I was able to let go of control, I would have a lot more peace than I do. But if you are like me, don't slow yourself up from being led because you've got fear. I'd encourage you... just go for it. It's not always what you expect, how you're led. My wife got an amazing job a year or so ago, in Kigali, great money. We prayed about whether she should take it. We sought God because we'd have to move from the town we were living in, Muhanga, to the capital city. Everything was more expensive. We couldn't afford to live there. But she had this job that covered all the bills. And, we prayed about it. We seeked counsel. It felt right. And then we went there and we paid the deposit on the house. And then she was made redundant. And you're like, oh, man, what's that about? It's like your head in your hands moment. It's like, we've got no money. We just spent all our money on the rent. And she's just been made redundant. And we did what you said. And how is that fair? it turned out, and with hindsight we could look back and say that she's now started her own business, which is helping Rwandan artisans get work. She's selling products for babies, toys and developmental toys and nursery equipment. We've already employed somebody from our local church, somebody who was really struggling in their family to be a seamstress. And so it was really good what came out of it. But you don't always see it. You don't always see it straight away. And it's not always what you expected, but it's still from God. And then finally, a few just tips. If you think you've heard something from God, pray about it. Get wise counsel from godly people in your trust if you're not sure. Think about what fruit will come out of whatever you're being led into. And then just do it. Just do it. For example, when I heard that I was going to speak here, that Moses verse popped into my head, and I thought I needed to take off my shoes. Didn't fit greatly with what I was talking about. Made me feel significantly uncomfortable. But maybe that's something from God. Maybe it's something I needed to learn. It didn't hurt anyone that I'm not wearing shoes. And so it's just that encouragement. Like, if it's going to not hurt anyone and just embarrass yourself, if it's something that's going to bless someone else, just do it. If you've got that feeling in your heart to do something, then maybe it's being led by the Spirit. And if it's not, I've just stood here with no shoes on. It's not going to hurt anyone. It doesn't make any difference. And so that's what I'd encourage you. It might seem weird. People might make fun of you. You might have to stand in places and feel uncomfortable. But it's just a wild ride, and I encourage everyone to get on board. So if anyone wants to pray afterwards, anyone wants to talk more afterwards, I'll be here, and I'm very sorry I've stolen 7 minutes of your lives.